Still working, Tim?
Okay, good. So Jesus came to set us free. Is that correct? What did he come to set us free from? Okay. Yeah. Came to give us freedom. Freedom through his Holy Spirit that he left behind. Tim, could you just put up that hymn that we just sang, the armor one, actually? If that's easy, is it? Now, I didn't choose that hymn, actually, that we just sang, but it's very appropriate for what I would want to say over the next few minutes, because it's all about battles and soldiers and armies. In fact, the Bible is really littered with battles, isn't it, and stories about battles, but in the New Testament this also talks a lot about spiritual battles. We talk about soldiers, onward Christian soldiers, and this we've just been seeing here, the heavenly armor, and no doubt they're going to be hearing about Ephesians and the different parts of the armor. So the battle belongs to the war. No weapons that's fashioned against us will stand. Can we just have a look at the next verse? Here, when the power of darkness comes in like a flood. What I'd just like to do today is to try and get all of us thinking about this, really, because I think, as I've said before, it's not about one person up here talking. It's about, really, us all getting something out of this today about what the Lord might be trying to say through his word about this. It's kind of a big subject, spiritual warfare. And I'm not going to stand up here giving a big lecture on spiritual warfare, because I would say I'm somewhat of a novice in the subject. It's a subject, really, that some people dare not go near, because, you know, you think of things like deliverance and demons and all that stuff. It's a subject that to some people is a bit, that's for other people. It's a difficult one. But nonetheless, we are engaged in a spiritual battle. Jesus said that. The whole of the scriptures talks about the spiritual battles. Moses was involved in spiritual battles in some of the things that he was engaged in. Whilst the battle was raging on the land, he was lifting his hands to the heavens. And, you know, surprisingly, in parts of the scripture, it talks about war in heaven. And we think about war, heaven being a tranquil, peaceful, beautiful place, which it will be, and it is. But there is a battle raging. And the battle that is raging in the heavenlies is directly connected with what's happening to us and what happens on earth. We could look at the scripture, Tim, that I've got for us this morning. So this is from Corinthians. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. It says in some versions, are carnal, not carnal weapons. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The next one is actually, that's the NIV version. The next one is the Message version, which is a, you know, modern language. Some people don't like the Message, but I kind of like it on some occasions because it kind of is gritty. And now personal but most urgent matter. I write in the gentle but firm spirit of Christ. I hear that I'm being painted as a cringing and wishy-washy when I'm with you, but harsh and demanding when at safe distance writing letters. Please don't force me to take up a hard line when I'm present with you. Don't think that I'll hesitate a single minute to stand up for those who say I'm unprincipled opportunist. Then they have to eat their words. The world is unprincipled. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. The world isn't fair. But we don't live to fight our battles that way. We never have. We never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation. That's the world's way of doing things. but they are for demolishing that entirely massive corrupt culture. And you can read the rest yourself. We use our powerful tool, God tools, for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. Perhaps a little bit of context. Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and actually they were quite scathing about Paul. And you know, when you look at this scripture, you don't think of the sort of there's some anger there in a sense, because he'd been criticised for being, well, what some of us might say, two-faced. They were actually accusing him of being one thing when he was writing letters and another thing when he was there in person. Actually says that in the scriptures. And this was a rebuttal to the Corinthians. A rebuttal that he wasn't a cringing wishy-washy when he was with them and all soft. They said he actually wasn't a very good speaker. And he said it's not all about speaking. It's not about this. It's not about that. It's about the spiritual battles that are raging. So, if you go to the next slide, Tim, what I've done is taken a proclamation. This is a condensing of the scriptures, if you like, into a proclamation. And if I remember rightly, I've done handouts before. If you could pass those down. Do you remember the salt? Do you remember the mustard seeds? That's two there. Two there. If you could pass one on. Two there. Two there. Two there. Now, I want you to put these in your wallets and purses. Can I give you those two? Thank you. Has anybody not got one? Rosemary and I read this scripture or this proclamation out loud. In fact, I was going round my tractor trying to make some hay last Saturday, Sunday. Not very successfully, I might add, because I've only got a little tractor, but I was bumping around. And when I'm outside in the garden, which I don't get the chance to do very often, but when I do, it's the kind of time when I have a chance to think and ponder. It doesn't take a lot of thought for me to go around cutting the grass. I enjoy it, but it gives me time to think and talk to God. I'm sure people have different moments when they do the same in their greenhouse potting shed or at the ironing board or wherever it might be. Mine happens to be outside. And something was really eating me up, and I won't go into what it was, but it was playing on me, and it was playing on me. And I was actually over the noise of the tractor. I thought, well, I'll repeat this out loud. And I said it over and over and over again. And I really did feel better after doing that. And I was shouting at the top of my voice, and I thought, well, I'm safe from anybody hearing me in Eckington because the tractor noise will drown it out. But I think what I'd like to do is to get us into the mode of thinking about spiritual warfare as something that we can come against. Let's just take this apart a little bit, if I could just unpack this, as you might say. Unpack the weapons of my warfare. Well, weapons. What are those weapons? Well, there are various weapons. Clive, what weapons can you think of?
Immediately springs to mind is the word.
Yep. The sword of the spirit is part of the armour that I guess the kids are learning about. Is talked about the word is probably one of the most powerful things that we're given. Hence proclamations, hence speaking out the word. Tactical weapons. I think of tactical and nuclear weapons. You know, if you think it from a battle point of view, prayer is a powerful weapon that's used incisively and tactically in certain situations to kind of really get to a matter. That's a very tactical weapon. The sword of the spirit, as Clive said, is the word. I consider the name of Jesus as a kind of a nuclear weapon. You know, the blood of the Lamb. is, and if you are familiar, there's various scriptures talk about the blood scriptures in the Bible, which are really powerful. So the weapons of our warfare are mighty. And we were singing then about armour. And in Ephesians 6, therefore you put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. So being a Christian is not about retreat. Retreat doesn't actually isn't mentioned. It's not an option. We do need each other. And I often think about the picture of Romans and Greek, particularly the Greeks in battle, when they used to lock shields, you know, and their shield was not, actually in certain formations, was not for them. The shield was to protect the person to the left of them. They had their fighting arm, and when they locked shields, the shield was protecting the person beside them. And it's actually, there's something about battles and weapons and armies where we are required together to come together in prayer to protect one another and put on that whole armour. Having girded your loins with truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So warfare, soldiers, armies, weapons, strategy. Are we in the barracks or are we on the battlefield right now? This is kind of like the barracks here, really. You know, a lot of Christians can spend too much time in the barracks and be well trained and well honed, but actually the battlefield, as we all know, is outside those doors. In fact, the battle is all around us, really. And it's as it says in the scripture, it's not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, and against the powers of this world. And it's about the forces of evil in heavenly realms. So mighty in God, our weapons are mighty in God. Mighty, victorious. We read or sang about victory. Moses, as I said earlier, when the Israelites were fighting the Amalekites down in the valley, and Moses was high up on a vantage point looking down, and God told him to raise his arms to heaven. And as he did so, the battle below went well. But as his arms tired and they came down, the battle went against them. And so it was Hur, I believe, and Aaron who stood either side of him to hold his hands up to heaven. And this was a battle, the scriptures is telling us, this was happening in the heavenlies. Moses lifted his arms to the heavenlies, where there was a, if you like, a mirror image of what's going on. What happens here in the physical realm happens up in the spiritual realm. And we are, as Christians, equipped to actually try and understand that and to deal with that. And we will be victorious through God. Strongholds. Wow, strongholds. Interestingly, I live in Strensham, and the word Strensham means stronghold. It's an interesting... and if you look at Strensham, high up on its vantage point where we are next to the church, it's seen as a strong place. Stronghold can have a positive and a negative connotation, of course. A positive meaning, of course, is a place of survival or refuge. But it can also have a negative meaning, a place or major centre of predominance, meaning that a state that exists where one personal group has power over another. So high places actually, and strongholds can be physical places, and interestingly, Strensham on our doorstep where we live is seen as a place of over time as a stronghold for good or evil. There are ley lines there. There are, dare I say, pagan origins to that site in Strensham. And yet we have a church built there as well on a high place. And it looks over to another church in Eckington. And it looks over to another church behind it. And so often high places have been a place of physical stronghold and physical battlegrounds in the spiritual realm. But the context in which I already wanted to talk today was about spiritual strongholds being the battle for our minds. And I think today that's probably really a big challenge for us all as Christians. Satan and his legions, another term, military term, are working overtime to deceive, to accuse, and really they're working on Christians. You know, Satan and his cohorts are little interested in the unsaved of this world. They're interested in pulling down Christians, to attack Christians, to attack our minds, to attack our marriages, to attack our relationships, to attack our very thinking of what we believe. And we can deal with that, but we have to be aware that we are in a battle. Few Christians actually see it, I think, as a daily battle, as a spiritual warfare. Satan has built lies in our mind. He has built strongholds in our minds, strongholds that can take a lifetime to bring down once they're there. They're built through footholds. And a foothold, as Eve did in the Garden of Eden, gives Satan the legal right. There's a lot in the Bible about legality of opening a door to your mind, to a physical place, to let evil in. And if you give that foothold, you give a legal right. And those strongholds are built brick by brick over a long time, often over generations, from generation to generation. And those thoughts that we need to bring into captivity to Christ can be of negativity, pride, self-will, anxiety, doubts, anger, bitterness, hurts, depression, oppression, sickness, divorce, drunkenness, financial bondage, condemnation. And I'm not trying to compare here with trying to have a sort of a let's go out there and have a positive mental attitude. That's the world saying, you know, PMA, positive mental attitude. If we think positive, we see the glass half full rather than half empty, we'll be all right. Well, we won't be all right, because we are going to come under attack as Christians. The devil is going to find your weak spot. He's going to come after you, and whatever it is, he's going to work at it like a finger needling you. And each of us know what those triggers are. And we are required to make a stand. We are required to make a stand, to bring our thoughts into captivity. Captivity being submission. The Holy Spirit in us has the legal right through the blood of Jesus to say, no, I'm going to make a stand. I'm not going to let these thoughts eat at my mind. I'm not going to let negativity, I'm not going to let that person upset me and play on me. If you get into a sort of a mental conflict, somebody really annoys you at work, somebody's annoyed you in the family, somebody's upset you, or some business matter has not gone well, somebody's tricked you, deceived you, let you down, guess what? It gnaws at you. It grows in you. And it actually starts. And very often the person that's done those things has little awareness they've actually done anything to upset you or hurt you. But those hurts fester and they grow. And the devil and his cohorts will use those to wind us up and to drag us down. Not so far from here, up this road, round the corner, a few years ago, there was a couple living who we know well. And I don't think people here, I'm not going to mention names, but they're not living here now. In fact, this couple, 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, went on a plane to Spain on a suicide pact. They were severely in debt, riddled with problems, and they gentleman went ahead and he threw himself into the harbour in Malaga in Spain, committed suicide. Well, we believe he committed suicide, but it's not actually proven. The wife didn't go with it. This is somebody lived in Twining, on our doorsteps. Now, when you look back in that family, there's a history of drunkenness, a history of depression in the sons, and then the father, and then it's three generations of mental illness and depression and problems. Now, you could look at that situation and say, well, yeah, there's medical help for that. And yes, there is medical help for that, and medical help is being provided. And, you know, there is counselling. Yes, and there's counselling. The biggest challenge that we face is at the spiritual level. How do you deal with a situation like that? Because we know that there's a deep, deep-rooted problem there. And, you know, it's fine for us as Christians to step back and say, well, you know, it's not our problem. It's, you know, it goes back for generations. But it says the weapons of our warfare are mighty. And Rosemary and I feel ill-equipped, if you like, I'm being honest, to know how to deal with a situation as difficult as that. And yet, there are few others around in this particular family to actually do anything about it, to support the individuals that are left behind. And these are the sort of challenges that I believe, now that's perhaps an extreme one, but we're living in a world that's getting darker. If anybody thinks it's getting rosier, I think they're wrong. It's actually a world that is getting darker. And I don't like saying that. My son, who's got married 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was telling him last week, him and his new wife, you know, do you really want to hear, when you're getting married and setting up a new life and trying to build a family, do you really want to hear that the world's getting into a darker place? Do you really want to hear that things are going to get worse? I mean, economically, we're told now that we as the generation are the generation has the greatest prosperity, and that the coming generations are going to be less prosperous. Well, I've got a scripture for that, or I've got a quote for that. And it says, there are thousands who can blossom spiritually in adversity. Only a few thrive spiritually under prosperity. And I would put to us all that we're the generation that's allowed in this nation, this country, to lose its spiritual roots. The economic success that we've seen in this country and in the West, our prosperity has allowed us to get slack, has allowed us to go soft, and it's allowed those footholds to be built by the enemy. And I remember 20 years ago, David Pawson, I think it was up in St. Paul's Church in Worcester, saying that what we needed in this country, and it was quite shocking at the time, he said it was a good dose of persecution. What did he mean? He meant that we've gone soft, and that thousands can blossom spiritually in adversity. If you go to third world countries, where they suffer with adversity every day of their lives, you will see miracles. You will see God moving in a way that he doesn't move here. There are thousands that can blossom spiritually in adversity, and only a few thrive spiritually under prosperity. Are we the generation that's let that happen, I would say? Are we? I'm not trying to accuse anybody here. I think we're all collectively part of a society that's gone way off beam in God's values, way off beam. But there is victory. There are things we can do about it. Obedience, surrender, bring our thoughts into obedience to Christ. Surrender, relinquish, submit, says in the scriptures, some version, to bring into captivity. And another scripture that we all know well in Proverbs, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. We can do that day by day in the emails we write, in the phone calls that we make, in the conversations we have. Witnessing doesn't have to be stood on the streets banging a Bible. I admire people that can do that. I've got nothing wrong with that. It doesn't have to be knocking on doors. I admire people that do that. But it's acknowledging God in all our ways. All our ways. And all our ways are probably the biggest challenge. The words we use, the very words we use in our emails, our text messages, on our phone calls, are the things that actually acknowledge where our hearts are. And when we make proclamations, those weapons, amongst the weapons Clive said about the word, three of our mightiest weapons are proclamation, thanksgiving, and praise. And that's why we're here today singing. That's why we actually speak out the word. And praise doesn't have to be something done with musical instruments. It can be done about talking about who God is, how great God is. Proclamations are a legal declaration. They take back the ground that the enemy has won. That's where the word proclamation comes through. It was a royal declaration that was pronounced out loud to take a legal authority, thanksgiving and praise. The Battle for Jericho was a symbolic act, if you like, of all of these things. It was a strategic fortified stronghold that was brought down miraculously through spiritual warfare ahead of the grand attack. And by obedience of proclaiming and praise through the blowing of the trumpets, walking around six times, blowing a trumpet on the seventh day, blowing it seven times, walking around. What a load of fools they must have looked to some. You know, we're called to be fools to Christ. We're called to do strange things. Because God wants us to step out of our comfort zone. He wants us to give him the glory. He doesn't want to say, yeah, it was their 10,000 men and their superior training that did that. It was because they had this and they had that. Those are the weapons of the world. They're the carnal weapons. God wants us to see us employ the spiritual weapons so that he gets the glory. There's going to be no doubt. There's going to be no doubt where the instigator, where the author, and who has the victory has come from. And the authority of God at Jericho gave them the legal right bestowed on the Israelites to take back, or to take that land that was promised to them. So what I'd like us to do now, just in conclusion, is to all read out loud our little scripture, because I would implore you to keep this with you. And there are many other scriptures, you know, but this has authority. And if you find yourself being got at in this battle for our minds, just remember, let's read together. The weapons of my warfare are mighty in God. With them I pull down strongholds that Satan has built in my mind. I bring all my thoughts into obedience to Christ. Three of my mightiest weapons are proclamation, thanksgiving, and praise. You can't say this enough. And, you know, not pushing books, but this is an old book from Derek Prince, a great preacher who's no longer with us. Prayers and Proclamations. And there are several like that that are in this book. If you can still get hold of it, I don't know. I'm sure you can somewhere. That I would recommend. And there's power in the word. Power in the word. And it's going to set us free. But remember, the battle is for our hearts and minds. And it's a tough one. And it's going to get tougher, I think. And it's going to be down to us Christians to actually make that stand for those we love and those in our communities that are around us. Tom, could we sing that verse? That song you sang right at the beginning, because you know that new song.
Yeah.
Could we sing that again?
If you want to. Yeah.
That would be good. Maybe we can all have a go as well. Just while you're getting ready, let me just pray for us all. Father God, we acknowledge your authority. We acknowledge that we are in a spiritual battle, Lord. You called us to be soldiers. but you've also promised that we will be mighty and victorious through you and your word, your power. Lord, I ask you that you protect our minds from the wily ways of the enemy. Lord, help us to be wise. Help us to be strong. And Lord, help us to hold ground and to take back ground that has been lost in the friends and the family and the people that we know around us, Lord. Help us to use the weapons of warfare mightily for your glory, Lord. And the your purposes of your kingdom be furthered, Lord. Father God, help us in this daunting and big matter. But Lord, we know through the blood of the Lamb we will prevail. And that we ask you that you will help us. Speak to each one of us, Lord, as we leave this place in our hearts and minds about what we should do, Lord. How we should go on the offensive. Help us to be soldiers that are equipped, but will actually be ready to make a stand for Christ Jesus and your sake and his, your glory. Amen. Amen.